On Raven Radio KCAW Sitka, good morning. I'm Steve Johnson with Raven News. In what's expected to be a tight financial year, City Finance Director Jay Sweeney has some good news. Sweeney told the Assembly Tuesday night that the city was eligible to refinance some of its outstanding general obligation bonds at a lower rate, from 5.25% to 4.5%. And while refinancing won't make much of a dent in the city's immediate budget crunch, the long-term benefit could be substantial.
The difference is going to be in the range of about $250,000 is the actual savings that we would save in interest. Now, these bonds are funded by the extra 1% seasonal sales tax, and so as that ballot proposition was written approximately a decade ago, and so as a result of lowering the interest rate, it's my calculation that we would be able to sunset the seasonal sales tax 1 year earlier than what I currently forecast, moving it backwards from 2023 to 2022.
The bonds were approved by voters in 2004 and 2005 for the construction of the Performing Arts Center and the replacement of the roofs on several school buildings. Sitka has had a total of 6 outstanding general obligation bonds, all for school projects. The remaining principal is $36,300,000. The Assembly voted unanimously to approve a resolution authorizing Sweeney to move ahead on a deal with Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. The Assembly made some routine appointments to commissions and boards on Tuesday, and one not-so-routine appointment. Sitka resident Brian Bakar was appointed to the Police and Fire Commission. Assemblymember Mike Reif said he had heard from several members of the public expressing concern about the prospect of Bakar's appointment to the Police and Fire Commission. In questioning the candidate, Reif tiptoed around the issue that Bakar might have an axe to grind with law enforcement in Sitka.
Obviously, your experience and your history obviously has some dealings with both the Police and Fire Commission, probably past business and so forth. Do you think that hampers past business, past practices? How do you think that plays in our selection process for you, or should play?
I think a lifetime involvement would be a benefit to it.
That was Bakar responding, saying, "I think a lifetime of involvement should be a benefit." Assemblymember Terry Blake referred to himself as the new guy, and he said he lacked the history to understand the line of questioning. He asked Bakar to explain the public's concern with his appointment. Bakar answered only that he was concerned about his children and their ability to thrive in Sitka. He said he wanted to encourage positive growth on the Police and Fire Commission. The state's public court records identify 10 separate criminal misdemeanor cases involving 48-year-old Bakar. He has been charged with harassment, reckless driving, DWI, driving with a license revoked, violating conditions of release, reckless endangerment, disorderly conduct, and 2 fish and wildlife misdemeanors and a hit and run. Phyllis Hackett agreed Bakar's experience might prove useful on the commission.
I do believe that a person such as Mr. Bakar, who has had experience with our police force here in town, that kind of experience would be really beneficial to the commission overall, and bring a really valuable perspective that I would suspect most of the people on the commission may not understand firsthand.
Mike Reif motioned to appoint Bakar for only a 1-year term rather than a full 3-year term. The motion was defeated. The Assembly voted 5-0 with Mayor Westover and Pete Esquiro absent to appoint Bakar to a 3-year term. And finally, the Assembly began Tuesday night's meeting with a 30-minute lesson on a Promethlin board. The interactive whiteboard is already in use in many Sitka classrooms. Second grade teachers Cindy Duncan and Kelly Buxton and Assistant Superintendent Mary Wagner distributed a number of Promethlin input devices around the room and then polled audience members on their views of education. The results were compiled instantly on the boards. Most audience members favored education, or not just speaking or reading at a group activity that engaged a variety of senses. Buxton and Duncan are 2 of Sitka's in-house Promethlin trainers and experts.
So I've had a Promethlin active board in my classroom for 5 years, and I love it, and I use it all the time, and I have seen a big change in grades over the course of those 5 years and the engagement of students.
Duncan explained how students could use the interactive features of the board to take math tests, play educational videos, and even track the Iditarod mushers in real time on a map of Alaska. School board member Tim Fulton organized the presentation. He emphasized that the technology was not intended to replace teachers. He said it was about sharing information. The district will send its budget to the assembly in May for final approval. It could contain around $450,000 in technology expenses. Wrangell is taking a closer look at future energy needs. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council held a meeting in Wrangell recently to discuss the issue and the role that biofuels are playing in many Alaska communities. KSTK's Charlotte Duran has the story.
As heating oil costs continue to rise, many Alaskans are looking for cheaper alternatives to meet their energy needs. One method is converting plants, paper, or wood waste into biomass to use as a renewable energy source.
Probably about 5 years ago, the fuel prices got extremely high for a period of time. I was burning about 1,200 gallons of oil a year in my house, and I needed to do something different.
That's Wrangell resident Carl Johnson. Johnson has been heating his two-story home with wood pellets for 5 years. He says it cut his heating costs dramatically.
I went from about $4,500 a year in oil to about $1,200 in pellets, and right now I just bought a ton for $400. The price went up, so I spend about half right now, I guess, on pellets that I would on oil.
He buys in bulk from a manufacturer in the lower 48 as well as from a retailer in town. He says heating could cost even less if he could buy from a local manufacturer. At a recent meeting, SEAC organizer Jeremy Maxan proposed just that.
What we want to do is take a look at what the possible market penetration is for biofuels, whether it's pellets or biobricks. And then look at the feasibility, the economic feasibility of building a manufacturing plant in Wrangell and selling a local biomass product that, again, can create jobs, it can keep money local, it can help reduce annual heating costs for families. Seems like the smart thing to do.
According to Southeast's draft integrated resource plan, a long-term generation and transmission study, there's been a 50% increase in load on the hydropower system over the past 5 years. The IRP recommends the use of biofuels in homes and government buildings to help cut down on the load, as well as heating oil costs. SEAC recently conducted a survey of residents in Wrangell and Petersburg to find out what types of energy people are using to heat their homes. It also asked whether people would be interested in using locally manufactured biofuel. Maxant, who is also Wrangell's mayor, says 233 surveys were completed between the two communities.
What we found in Wrangell and Petersburg, particularly in Wrangell, was that about 38% of the respondents indicated that they would be willing to purchase and use a locally manufactured product. And that's really important before you get too far down the road with a project like this to know, you know, what the level of interest is.
Throughout Southeast Alaska, a number of successful biomass boiler projects have been developed. Sea Alaska Corporation's Juneau headquarters has switched from oil to wood pellet heat, and Craig and Thorne Bay heat their schools with waste wood boilers. Wrangell is considering manufacturing wood and paper briquettes that can be used in homewood stoves. Unlike pellet stoves, briquettes or biobricks can be used just like regular firewood. Maxen says ultimately the conversion to biomass comes down to the needs of each individual community.
We need to realize that we have kind of a perfect storm right now between the integrated resource plan, state funding, grant opportunities. Our small mill guys that are producing waste, our municipal solid waste problem when we're trying to figure out what to do with paper and cardboard and wood. You bring all these things together and you basically end up with an opportunity to create a product that can help solve at least the heating side of the energy issue in Wrangell.
Last year, Alan Brackley, a research forest supervisor for Sitka's Wood Utilization Center, visited Wrangell to speak on the town's future forest product industry. One potential, he says, is the conversion of Wrangell's small mill wood waste.
There are a lot of renewable energy options, and I think in the short term, the most viable biomass renewable energy options are some form of wood. But then there's wind power, there's solar power, and all of that's making gains.
Brackley estimates it would take 23,000 cords of wood to replace all the fuel oil used in homes and commercial buildings in Wrangell and Petersburg. This, he says, is 100% market penetration, which he believes won't happen. He estimates that a reasonable rate for penetration over the next 10 years might be one-third of the market. The local tribal government recently sent a letter of interest to Anchorage-based Alaska Village Initiatives requesting assistance in performing a feasibility study for biofuel manufacturing in Wrangell. Later this month, Wrangell's Borough Assembly will vote on a briquette pilot project that could potentially decrease the high costs of municipal waste disposal. If approved, it will be passed on to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Charlotte Duran.
A roadmap for Southeast Alaska energy development is meeting some resistance from the Southeast Conference. The regional organization's Energy Committee passed a resolution Tuesday supporting parts of the state-funded Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan, but it called for continued work toward a regional electrical grid, which the draft plan calls too expensive. Committee Chairman Merrill Stanford of Juneau said the Alaska Energy Authority plan lacks some important elements.
This is not a fix-all by any means, but I think we're at a crossroads here, and we have to do something. We have to move forward with something.
The resolution calls for construction of 5 hydropower plants: Sitka's Blue Lake, Ketchikan's Whitman Lake, Heidelberg's Reynolds Creek, Angoon's Thayer Lake, and Hoonah's Gartina Creek. It also supports 2 new power lines, one from Petersburg to Cake and the other from Metlakatla to Ketchikan. But many at the meeting objected to its emphasis on wood-burning space heaters as a way to reduce electrical demand. Angoon Mayor Albert Howard said biomass energy should not replace long-planned, much-needed power lines and plants. That's all for Raven News for this hour. This is KCAW in Sitka, taking a look at our weather forecast for the remainder of today. Periods of rain possible, temperatures in the lower 40s, winds out of the southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.